Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to another edition of Sound of Spurs podcast. I'm the longtime radio voice of the Spurs, Bill Schoening. This is episode number 22, and it's presented by the fine folks at SWBC. We are very, very happy and excited to have our guest on today. Vinny Del Negro, a native of Springfield, Massachusetts, played six seasons with the Spurs from 92 to 98. He's been a coach, a television analyst. He's worked in the front office. He played for a long time. He's one of the first guys that I know of that went overseas and played in Italy. And we'll get to all of that. But Vinny, first of all, thank you so much for joining us as part of the 50th anniversary of the Spurs. We couldn't do it without you. You were a very, very important part of those teams for the Spurs back in the 90s.
Well, Bill, it's great to see you. Anything for the Spurs, obviously. Tom James is a longtime friend, obviously you and everyone in San Antonio. So, you know, the best years of my NBA career were in San Antonio with so many great players, so many great coaches, but really just high character people that I learned a lot from and that I talk to and stay in touch with today as we speak. So fond memories, unbelievable organization, unbelievable people, fans, just first class. And the success speaks for itself.
We look forward to chatting with you about those years because you had some very special teammates, and I know you still have bonds, as you just mentioned, with some of them. But let's start your journey in the beginning, Vinny. You're from a town that I know pretty well, Springfield, Massachusetts, because the silver and black, we've had a little parade going up there, right? It's been a little journey. There's been some San Antonio to Springfield connections. I was at Manu Ginobili's induction last year at the Hall of Fame. Of course, Tim went in the year before. There's a bunch of them going in this year. So growing up in a town that is so close to Boston, but at the same time, separated from Boston, especially because of the Hall of Fame. What was that whole like, your experience growing up and playing basketball in Springfield, Mass?
Well, my dad was a great player. He played for Adolph Rupp at the University of Kentucky. And then, you know, I used to go years ago. The Basketball Hall of Fame used to be at Springfield College. So my father owned bars and package stores for the college at Springfield College. My uncle built the library there. So we'd go to football games at Springfield College, and the Hall of Fame was right there. And you'd walk down these stairs, and it was a small little Hall of Fame. And I'd watch films, and we'd be there. And, you know, so Springfield, then it's just continued. The game has continued to grow. It's continued to evolve, as well as the Hall of Fame. And they've had a few now, and now they're in a world-class basketball Hall of Fame, Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield. That's as good as any Hall of Fame you're going to see. So with all the Hall of Famers going in San Antonio the last several years, obviously the great George Gervin from David, obviously to Manu, to Tim, now Tony, Pop, Becky Hammon. There's so many great players. So, you know, being involved with the Hall of Fame like I am for years, you know, I'm on the board of trustees for the Basketball Hall of Fame and do a lot with the Hall of Fame. They have a lot of great people there. And I'm just happy, you know, Pop decided finally he has the time to go in. So it'll make it even that more special with Tony and him there. You know, Paul Gasol's going in. I mean, there's so many great deserving players, coaches. So it'll be a great enshrinement this August.
It's a very special place, your hometown, because of the Hall of Fame especially. But I'm encouraging a lot of Spurs fans and basketball fans at all to go see that beautiful museum. It's really a shrine to the sport, isn't it, Vinny?
It's amazing. I mean, from everything. I mean, the Kobe Bryant exhibit there is phenomenal. The whole atmosphere, the history of the game, the memorabilia, the Jerry Colangelo basketball court, all of the lockers of all of a lot of the Hall of Fame players, just the history of James Naismith and all the great players in the history of basketball, all the different charity awards, all the different media awards. I mean, it's a special place. It's not something you can tour in one day. It could take you a long time to see all the memorabilia that they have. And it's worldwide. I mean, the game is worldwide. The Hall of Fame now is obviously worldwide with so many international top level players and people in there, coaches, contributors. So it's even going to be a special enshrinement because Coach Jim Valvano, my NC State basketball coach, is going to be inducted as a contributor this year. So just a lot of history for me in Springfield with the Hall of Fame, and it's just a special place.
I can tell you've got a broadcasting background because you just went to that next topic right before I got there. You beat me to it. And that was Jim Valvano, who, of course, is going in as a special contributor. You played for a very special guy there down in Raleigh. What about your relationship with Coach Valvano, and how did he talk you into going down there? Because I'm sure you had multiple offers. You had a very good high school career.
Well, I was either it came down to I was going to go to University of Kentucky where my dad went and NC State. And I was really going to Kentucky. And then in the last minute, my recruiting trip with Coach Valvano and his staff and people there, I just had a comfort level with me growing up, obviously, in a very Italian neighborhood and family and his background. It just kind of worked. And he was tough. I mean, you know, he was a no-nonsense coach and demanded a lot from you. But that's why we had success there. We had great players. We had great teams. But he created the standards there. That was what was expected. And we were able to, kind of fulfill some of those things. So the V Foundation and what they do for cancer research and his legacy that he's left, unfortunately, the technologies and the medicines and the things weren't around when he had cancer and passed away. But his wife, Pam, now Pam Valvano Strausser, who will be at the enshrinement this year with her daughters and her husband, John, it's going to be a great weekend. And Coach Valvano has meant a lot to me, taught me a lot, pushed me a lot in those years, demanded more from me and the teams. And I've had a lot of great coaches. You know, I've had a lot of great mentors in terms of kind of, you have to have your own personality, but you have to be able to you have to put the work in. It doesn't come easy and you need people to push you. And Coach Valvano was one of those coaches for me.
You know, I had a chance to visit with Thurl Bailey a few weeks ago. Thurl, of course, is now the analyst for the television side for the Utah Jazz. And we talked about that recent documentary that came out about those guys getting together and talking about that championship year. And you could tell the bond there and how much they love Coach Valvano. So I know those guys were right before you, but did that bond continue with your teammates at NC State because of Coach Valvano, the way he was so warm and inviting to everyone?
I think it really just came down to, you know, you mentioned Thurl Bailey. You're not going to find a better guy than Thurl Bailey. I mean, he gets it. He was a very, very successful player in college and in the NBA and has gone on to do great things with his music and with his broadcasting. So, you know, those teams were right before us. So the atmosphere, the energy, what was expected, what could happen, what you had to believe in was already kind of established. And then our job was to continually improve every day. And we had, like I said, we always had one of the top recruiting classes in the country because of Coach Favano's ability to draw those players. And you feed off that, you know, like I said before, any successful coach is going to say you're going to have a lot of talent. And we did. So that's a tribute to him, Coach Favano, his staff, everyone at NC State, the facilities, everything they've done there over the years is fantastic. But back then it was much different. And we had a lot of talent, a lot of great teams and a lot of great memories that don't leave you.
You got all ACC your senior year. You get drafted by the Sacramento Kings. What was that like? And then you didn't stay very long before you went overseas. And you don't hear that happen an awful lot in an NBA career. Of course, you came back. So take me through that period of time, Vinny, when you played for the Kings and then you went over to Benetton Treviso.
I actually felt like I was probably going to get drafted by the Celtics, who had the pick before Sacramento with Red Auerbach. But Bill Russell at the time was the GM in Sacramento, and they took me with the next pick. So my first NBA call was to my father's kind of favorite player idol, Bill Russell, growing up in Massachusetts with all the Celtics teams. And my dad used to take me to a lot of Celtics games. I was at the triple overtime game when they beat Phoenix. I mean, so I go back long time with the Celtics. My family lives in Boston and things. So getting that first call from Bill Russell was obviously a thrill. Then going to Sacramento for, you know, a couple of years, I learned a lot. The organization was kind of trying to find their way a little bit at the time. And they had offered me a three-year extension at the time. But the money back then was much different than it is now. And Italy had wanted me to go to Italy right out of college, right when I got drafted. And I really wanted to fulfill my dream to play in the NBA. So I did that. Then they came back to me when my contract was up after a couple of years, and the money was so drastically different. And I knew I could go to Italy for a year or two, continue to develop my game. And then after 2 years, I would become a free agent and Sacramento wouldn't have my rights. And that's when a few NBA teams had approached me and said, you know, we'd be interested in signing you. And San Antonio came in and basically said, hey, you know, we want to get you. And you know, we sat down, negotiated the deal, and the rest is history, really. And then I ended up playing, obviously, the next 6 years in San Antonio, which I've said before, I was in the best shape, best teammates, best teams, the best time of my NBA career, for sure.
What were those 2 years like in Italy, and how did you develop your game over there?
Well, we had really good teams. You know, we won the championship my second year, which they had never done. And we were able to do a lot of things at that organization, that team at the time, Benetton, who was incredibly generous and incredibly supportive. You know, the Benetton family, everyone they flew over for my wife Lynn and my wedding and present. I mean, it was just they were first class, unbelievable. The Treviso people, the arena. The second year we were able to get, you know, some really top level players. Tony Kukoc, who played with the Bulls for years, was a tremendous player, especially in Europe. Massimo Iacopini, a great guard of the national team. Stefano Rusconi, one of the centers for the national team, just a lot of really good players. And we were able to be very good, obviously winning the Italian championship, create kind of a standard atmosphere there that they never had. And then they kind of bought into it more and ended up having a lot of great years for Benetton in the European championship level and the Italian championship level. So very proud of that. Very great time in my life. I was able to develop my game, get stronger, just kind of confidence, just get better. Could have stayed in the NBA at that time, but I felt it was best for me, obviously, at that time to kind of move on and regroup a little bit. And it worked out perfect because I was able to, in 2 years, develop my game, be a better player, and then go to San Antonio. And, you know, the rest is history.
But the real reason, Vinny, was to improve your Italian and pick up some good recipes, right?
Well, that was easy. Yeah. You know, I was spoiled growing up. I had great Italian food, but there's nothing like living in Italy, the lifestyle. I loved it. A lot of great teammates, great coaches, great organization, and the food and the travel, and traveled all over the world playing basketball in those 2 years in tournaments and, you know, France, Spain, Italy, I mean, Yugoslavia, anywhere you can think of, we went because we had such good teams and played in a lot of tournaments everywhere. So great experience at a young age, but it was time for me to, you know, kind of get back to the NBA because that's where I felt I needed to expand my game and it was going to challenge me more. And, you know, I was lucky enough to sign with San Antonio.
You were with the Spurs for six seasons, Vinny, and you had some very, very good teammates. And of course, a lot of people still talk about the backcourt of Avery Johnson and Vinny Del Negro because you guys were very efficient, first of all, and you didn't turn the ball over. I think there were a couple of times where you led the league in assist to turnover ratio. What was it like to play with Avery, especially the way he is? I mean, you know, obviously his personality, and he's a take charge guy, obviously, but he was just with us in Austin. You know, the Spurs played a couple of games in Austin at the Moody Center, the brand new arena at the University of Texas. And Avery was doing the work on television right next to me. And I could hear him the entire broadcast. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, he doesn't change. There's no question. You know when Avery's in the room for sure. So, you know, it was interesting. Early on when I was in San Antonio, had to play a little point guard position, which I could do, but I wasn't as comfortable. I mean, I was a shooter. I was a pick and roll shooter. And then, you know, with so many guys, you know, Dave is going to get double teamed. You know, they're going to put two or three guys on David for sure. So having spacing on the court was important. So once me and Avery kind of got that connection where Avery was like the little general out there, you know, Avery wanted to pass and create and penetrate. And I wanted to, you know, shoot and run pick and roll and space the court. And it was important to us not to turn the ball over because we really felt like if we could control the tempo of the game with having David and Sean and the level of players that we had, not only as starters, but our bench was always really good, that we could win a lot of games and put ourselves in opportunities to, you know, continually move up in the playoffs and create something special there, which really happened. So there was a bond there with all of us. You know, that was the key. It wasn't about anybody's personal statistics. It was about doing your job. It was about, you know, it's funny, you know, the best teams I was on in San Antonio, if I had a bad game, you know, I was disappointed at myself, but I felt bad for my teammates. And so once you get to that level and understand the sense of responsibility you have, and, you know, these guys are your brothers, you know, you're sweating in the summers, you're practicing in training camps and during the season and handling the adversity of the season and having your ups and downs and getting on long win streaks and things like that. When you don't play well, you feel bad for yourself, but you know, you would feel bad more for, hey, I let my guys down. You know, we had so many good teams. We could sometimes play bad for two or three quarters, but have one really good quarter, or David could take over, or I could hit some shots, or Sean, or it, you know, and we could still win some games. But we knew in order for us to continually climb that ladder, we had to be far more consistent. So I think the greatest team thing about the teams was we had high character guys. You know what I mean? Like guys that got it. And when I mean that, I mean like they felt the responsibility. We came to work. We did our job. We wanted to improve. We wanted to play the right way. If someone had a better shot, get them the ball. It became almost like second nature, almost like clockwork. And that's what kind of made the experience, I think, special for everybody. And then I think with David and that group of guys we had, we created a level of an atmosphere level in the organization that once you got Tim Duncan and once they did a great job, in the draft, getting Tony and Manu and those great players, I think that standard was set and they kind of fed off that. And obviously, you know, even before Pop, we were creating that standard. And then when Pop took over, it was even at a much greater level. And he doesn't take enough credit, and he never will, because that's his personality. But his military background, what he expected from everybody, you know, the toughness, the durability, playing when you're injured, creating that atmosphere, practicing the right way. It was easy because all the guys that I mentioned, and there's so many of them, had created that, but they want, you know, we wanted to improve and do better. And then the rest of those guys, as we got older, they took over and they took it to a, even another level. And it's been fantastic to watch, but it doesn't just happen. It happens with great high character, an atmosphere and a standard that's created there. So I'm pleased to be a little sliver of that, but I'm more pleased about the memories and about the relationships and about playing the game the right way in front of great fans that appreciated that in a great city that was always behind us. Playing in the Hemisphere Arena to the Alamo Dome was a different experience, but unbelievable atmospheres, fans, support, and great memories.
If I'm not mistaken, you played the last year in the Hemisphere Arena, right? Was that your first year of the last season in the Hemisphere?
It might have been. You know, I don't remember if I played one or two. I think it was 1 year, maybe in Hemisphere.
Phoenix knocked you guys out in the playoffs.
Yeah. Charles hit that shot. Right. And then a couple of years later, we beat Phoenix. And a year later, I think we beat him again. So that was a good revenge for us. But Phoenix always had really good teams. Obviously, I live in Arizona. I worked for the Suns for years, played for them at the end of my career. San Antonio, we were just a really good, well-oiled machine at that time. And we had our bumps and bruises in the playoffs that we learned from at times, and we took some bumps, but we kept fighting and kept coming back. And it was just a matter of time. I thought, especially, you know, David was such a great player, and he kind of let all of us do our thing. We had the guys that coming off the bench. I mean, you know, from Doc Rivers, Monty Williams, Chuck Person, Terry Cummings, you can say what you want about Dennis Rodman, but Avery, Sean, and myself, statistically, along with David, had the best careers of our, you know, best years of our career when Dennis was around. And we won, I think, 60 or 62 or four games or something, and won a bunch of games. And, you know, they fed off each other. But You know, Sean was a special player, you know, battling through his health issues and injuries, and Avery and myself. I mean, just tremendous, tremendous, you know, players and great guys.
You were part of that big turnaround too, right? Because of all the injuries in the 96-97 season, yeah. The Spurs end up getting the number one pick, and you got a chance to play with Tim Duncan, and then everybody got healthy, including yourself and David, of course. So that was the largest turnaround in NBA history at that time, as you guys won 56 games that next year.
Well, I remember when we drafted Tim, right when the draft happened. I'll never forget it. I was in my kitchen in San Antonio, and my phone rang, like, right when they said Tim Duncan, San Antonio Spurs, and Avery called me, right, like, right then. He's like, we're back. When do you want to work out? Let's go. Like, he was like, it was hilarious. He was like screaming on the phone. I was screaming. We were like, I was like, man, Tim and David together. Are you kidding me? And we're in the backcourt. I said, we cannot screw this up. You know what I mean? We were laughing. And so, you know, red beans and rice, as they used to call us, we went to work and we got in the gym. I'll never forget it. We're in the gym and, the guards would do all, you know, in the summer, we do the shooting drills, and we were at a, you know, at that time, we were at a, I don't even remember the name of it, like a 24-hour fitness or something. Like, that was the gym we used because we didn't even have a practice gym at that time.
Really. Weren't even in Carter Word or Trinity?
Yeah, something. We had some fitness center playing in the summer, and we'd go lift weights, and then we'd go in the gym and play, and the guards would do their shooting and one-on-one and all these drills. And then Tim would come in, and then we were on the other end of the court, and Tim and David were playing one-on-one. And I think David had just won like the year before, maybe defensive player of the year or something. I don't know, whatever. But and we were watching kind of Tim's footwork in the post. And Tim was a lot thicker than David. You know, David was incredibly athletic, but Tim was like more methodical and, you know, and big hands and kind of up and unders and footwork and jump hooks and everything. And he was scoring on David in the one-on-one. And so me and Avery and some, we were sitting there going, oh my God, if he's scoring on David, there's like no one scores on David. Like maybe Olajuwon, obviously, and maybe, you know, Karl Malone and Charles and like the top guys like Patrick maybe. And, but like, he's a rookie. He just like walked in the gym and he's scoring on David. Like, oh my, this guy is unbelievable. Like, so you could just tell, I think the greatest thing about Tim that's misled is his demeanor. Like Tim always had like this psychological major demeanor. Like he never showed you that anything fazed him, but in private you could see that it really fazed him or pissed him off, to be honest with you. But he never let anybody see it, which is like a gift, where like I'm Italian, so I'm like yelling in my hands and like Avery's screaming, and but like Tim is like sitting there going, relax. You're like, you know what I mean? It was just such a different, I think that other than Tim is phenomenal player, phenomenal, you know, the best power forward ever that I've seen. But just his demeanor, I think, was really, yeah, his demeanor kind of fit in with the group so well, because if Avery wasn't talking, I was talking, like it was like a weird, but it just kind of worked. So that was cool to see. And it was actually really cool. And it was hard at the beginning because David was the guy, obviously. But then eventually you could see like David knew he was going to hand it over to Tim. And then Tim kind of like over the years handed it over to Tony. And then Tony and Manu kind of handled it for a long time. Like it was just kind of a really neat thing to see. And that's a really hard thing to do when you're a superstar like David or a superstar like Tim. Or so I think that really shows a lot of what the Spurs are about, to be able to transfer that lead guy the right way and have that consistent success for so many years. I think that's a really thing that is hard to do. And I think this, you know, Coach Pop's atmosphere and his ability with people. And I'm not saying that was an easy transition all the time, but obviously it worked incredibly well. And I think you'd be hard pressed to see that transfer of that success in any organization go as smoothly as it did in San Antonio.
San Antonio sports fans know great teams are powered by great talent. SWBC is looking for new talent to join our team in a workplace where game-changing ideas drive success. We employ top professionals in IT, accounting, human resources, insurance, and more. Great teams are powered by great talent, and great employees are empowered at SWBC. Apply today at swbc.com/careers. That's swbc.com/careers.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny, before we let you go, what are you up to these days other than maybe going out there and shooting 68s and 67s?
Playing, you know, just charity stuff with the V Foundation, with the Basketball Hall of Fame, family stuff, obviously some business things I'm involved with as an advisor, some companies and things I enjoy, family, a lot of family things, and playing some golf, but just enjoying. I've been so fortunate to have played front office, radio and TV, obviously coaching. There's things I miss, obviously. The game has changed dramatically in a lot of different ways, and in some ways better, in some ways I think probably not as well. But the support out there from the fans worldwide, the growth of the game is amazing. The technology, the things that are going on, some of these amazing players we see in the league is fantastic. So I enjoy watching the playoffs. Obviously, I stay involved in basketball with the league a little bit, but mostly with the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to be in the game for, you know, over 30 years in some capacity. So been very fortunate. I've had a great wife, a great family, great support system, and was very lucky to play in San Antonio for all those years. And not only play, but really kind of learn a lot of things that I took into coaching. And, you know, Coach Pop, whether as a player, as a coach, has always been 1,000% supportive. You know, I'll tell you a quick story, several stories I could talk for hours about that. But two stories I'll tell you is, so I'm playing for Pop and his first year, and we had just built a new house in San Antonio. And I came home after practice one day, and Pop obviously loves wine, and my wife loves wine and things. And so I came home, and my wife and Lynn wasn't home. So I'm like, she didn't call me. I didn't know. I'm like, where is she? She probably ran to the store or something. And all of a sudden, within 2 minutes, I hear the garage door coming up. So I go outside and figure she might have some groceries or whatever. Well, Pop, after practice, left and picked my wife up and took her, and he bought, like, I don't know how many cases of wine, right?
Of course he did.
Yeah. Right? So for my wife. So, and so I'll never forget it. So he's in the driveway, and we bring the cases of wine in, and my wife's inside, and he kind of looks at me before he gets in the car, and he goes, "Your wife loves me. Now you have to listen to everything I have to say." So and he like gives me that little Pop smirk, gets in his car and drives away. Right. So it's kind of like a funny thing. Right.
Right.
So then years later, coaching, when I was with the Clippers, we had beat Memphis, and I'll never forget it. We come into the hotel in San Antonio, and my phone rings in my room. I walk, I mean, literally the door opens, boom, the luggage isn't even there. The phone rings. I'm like, who's calling me, right? So I pick it up and it's Pop, first person I talk to. So he's like, hey, congratulations. But we go through the coaching stuff and things and congratulations. If you need anything, you need any new restaurants. Yeah, I've been in San Antonio. I got all the restaurants, blah, blah, blah. So it was like the first call right after that, you know, or whenever I had some issues going on as a young coach, obviously, you know, I would pick the phone up and he was always available, or I'd call him in the summer and talk to him. He might be traveling the world or whatever he was doing, but he'd always pick up and it was always very helpful, very supportive. So obviously those things go a long way. The relationships never go away. When you have respect and you respect the work that people have done for you, with you, obviously those are things that you can always have in your memory bank and they never go away.
That's what Pop always says. Number one thing about this whole league is relationships. And
For sure. No question about it. He knows better than anyone.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, Vinny, what a pleasure it was to have you on the show today. Thank you so much. Final question. That is, you know, this is the 50th anniversary of the Spurs. I ask all the guests this. When you look at the legacy of the team, of course, it started in the ABA way back then. The Dallas Chaparrals moved to San Antonio and for the 72-73 season. But when you think about the legacy of the Spurs, what key words would come to your mind?
Wow, that's tough. I would have to say professionalism, consistency, a standard of excellence, incredible fans. I mean, there's so many. I mean, but really, to me, I would think that the high character of people and the level of players that have come through San Antonio throughout the years is remarkable. But also, you know, you're not going to have the success without the players, without the commitment, without the guidance of having great coaches. Obviously, Pop is at the top of that list, and all the great players, but all the great support systems, all the great assistant coaches. I mean, there's hard to say one word. I mean, you could have so many things that I think of, but I would think, you know, commitment to excellence and kind of doing it the right way with high character people over a long period of time, with Pop being the catalyst of all that. But even before Pop, there's been some great players and great coaches. But we look at the last 20 or so years, I think you'd be hard pressed to find any organization, or there's probably just a few that have had that type of success with that level of high character player in person. And the Spurs have done that as well as anybody.
Vinny Del Negro, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate that. I think Sean Elliott wants to meet you out of Quarry, maybe play the back nine.
No, Sean, I need a couple shots aside and I'll show up.
I think he's going to say it's the other way around, I'm sure. Hey, thanks, Vinny. Appreciate you.
You got it, Bill. Good to see you as always.
A 6-year Spur back in the 90s, Vinny Del Negro. Sound of Spurs podcast brought to you by SWBC. I'm Bill Schoening. So long, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.